Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with us on this edition of the program. And my friends, the heart of this nation is rotten to the core. And that I get from the Kansas voters voting down the pro-life amendment to their state constitution this week. God have mercy on this nation, Bill. God have mercy on this nation. Kansas, one of the last best hopes for this nation, going down in flames. And that after the reversal of Roe v. Wade on the part of the Supreme Court of the United States. Bad, bad news for America. The heart of the voter is in the wrong place. And Kansas has one of the best red voter to blue city ratios in the country, probably in the top 5 to 6. In terms of the blue cities aren't as influential in Kansas as they are in Colorado and other states. Wichita, not that big of a population, but the blue cities again are coming out. But a 58 or 59-41 ratio, absolutely shameful for the state of Kansas. Friends, this is bad news for the nation. Bad news for 2022. Bad news for 2024. This is a harbinger of something very bad for this nation.
Yeah, you're right. What happened with the Supreme Court, we celebrated. But what we just saw yesterday in Kansas, we mourn and
terrible,
grieve.
Terrible.
It is reminiscent of what happened in just before the Civil War, and in 1821, the Missouri Compromise had outlawed slavery everywhere in the remaining Louisiana Purchase lands north of a certain line, the 36 degree parallel, and the two proposed territories that were part of the new states that the little giant Stephen Douglas had proposed were Kansas and Nebraska. And he proposed that they be able to decide whether they go for slave states or free states. And that created great conflict within the states, that people poured into those territories so that they would influence the development of the state as being either pro-slavery or pro-abolitionist free states. And we're seeing that happening again in, of all places, Kansas.
Kansas, a swing state.
And they poured in, and they did all that they could to turn it into, again, a pro-slavery state, a pro-death state, an anti-liberty state. Of all places to see it happen, it happens again in the heartland, just as it did just before the Civil War. It happened in 1854.
Big problems for the state of Kansas, my friends. Big problems for the United States of America after the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Now what we're seeing is the heart of the nation is rotten to the core, and that includes the heartland. A 59-41 split on a constitutional amendment, which, by the way, that change would not have banned abortion. It just simply allowed their elected legislators to restrict abortion somewhat, and they didn't even want that in the state of Kansas. Kansas being one of the most conservative states in America. And as I said, the lowest blue state to red state voter ratio in the country. They didn't have that many blue cities in the state of Kansas, one of the few most hopeful states in the country. Now the cause appears hopeless. What's the solution now? Well, I'm going to get back to this in just a moment. There are 8 states more conservative than Kansas in America on the pro-life issue, according to a study done in 2014. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, our families, our future families are crying out for shepherding. Shepherds, fathers, husbands, godly leaders. Our churches are crying out for shepherds, elders, pastors, deacons. But where will we find men who rule their households well and shepherd well in the household of God? Men, is there anything more important you will do in your life than to be the shepherd that God has called you to be? Does God have a call in your life to be a father, a shepherd in the home? Does God have a call on your life to be pastors, to invest in the precious body of Christ, the church that has been so despised by the world and so neglected by God's people? Would you invest in something this important? Would you surround yourself with good teaching, prayer, counsel, other shepherds to shepherd you, to be the shepherd God wants you to be? We have sought out the best shepherds and pastors for our Shepherds Training Conference, which takes place each year out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Now, this is not a seminary. Seminary professors can make for good seminary professors, but godly, faithful pastors and fathers will prepare more godly, faithful shepherds and pastors in the home and church. If you feel God's call on your life to spiritual leadership, if you sense this is the time to invest in preparation, encouragement, strengthening, guidance for spiritual leadership in your home or church life, register now for our Shepherds Conference taking place October 24th to 28th this year. It's 5 days of immersive teaching, fellowship, meals together, prayer, small groups, and a life-transforming, family-transforming, church-transforming event. Early registration is only $349 for room, board, and the whole week's program. Register now at generations.org and click on events. Register at generations.org. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Very bad news for America. This is the first test case since the reversal Roe v. Wade. Very bad. Supreme Court in the United States simply said, hey, we're not in the business of determining whether or not abortion will be accepted in the country. We're turning that back over to the voters. We're turning that back over to the legislatures. And sure enough, the voters demonstrated their true hearts, a 59-41 split in the state of Kansas as to whether or not there should be any restrictions on abortion in the state of Kansas. Very bad. Very bad. Shame on Kansas. Shame on the United States of America. Kansas, one of the few most hopeful states left in the country, with a fairly low blue city to red voter ratio. And by the way, only six to eight states more conservative than Kansas on the pro-life issue, according to a study done in 2014. And these six to eight states, probably the most powerless states in America in terms of the number of congresspersons. And that will not be enough to prevent the U.S. Congress from codifying abortion in the next session. That means the 2022-2024 elections in America, basically a lost cause unless America repents. Bill, America is not doing well. The heart of this nation is in the sewer. The Supreme Court of the United States, of course, in 1973 did something that was very radical. But since then, the heart of this nation has gone south. It's not doing well.
You know what? The other thing that this recent vote in Kansas portends is that we have done away with a representative democracy, a representative republic, rather. We have now become a pure democracy. Rather than allowing the elected officials, who are the representatives of the people, to make decisions based on law, we have now turned it over to the rabble, which is what a democracy is. It's only 51% decides what is right and what is wrong, rather than electing a representative to the legislature who will sit under law and make decisions. And that's what our founding fathers feared the most, was a democratic system. A pure democracy is evil because the weak, those who are voiceless, have no protection. It is only the majority rules. And that is not the way you rule a country. You rule a country by law, not by the rabble. You rule a country by electing representatives who deliberate and who think through the issues, not by an emotional response from the voter. And we have degenerated into a pure democracy, which is evil. It is wrong, and we need to call it that.
Well, the democracy is effectively autonomous these days, which means they want to be a law to themselves, similar to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973 attempting to be a law to themselves, unwilling to submit themselves to the Constitution of the United States or to God's law. And now we're suffering the same conclusion from the democracy themselves and legislators themselves that want to throw off the Constitution of the United States, which would have protected the right to life, liberty, and property. And they want to throw off God's law as well. So they're throwing off law and simply sticking their finger in the wind and determining which way the wind is blowing. And the democracy has been told for a long time, the voter base has been told for a long time, that they are autonomous and they do not submit themselves to the Constitution. They must not submit themselves to God's law. They must simply do whatever they want to do. That is what is taught in many of American churches, certainly the American schools. And so they're acting out their autonomy, the idea that they are God and they will determine right and wrong for themselves. And that's the direction that legislatures are apparently going to go.
We are witnessing the demise of liberty, the end of the rule of law, and we are certainly in the throes of the demise of the republic.
And we have pointed out that Pew Research, as well as Gallup polls in 2022, indicated that the question as to whether Americans want abortion illegalized or banned or restricted to some extent, that ratio of Americans is upwards in the 60% tile range, which is pretty much where the Kansas vote went, of 59-41. So this vindicates or substantiates what the Gallup poll and Pew Research has indicated as of 2022 polling. And also be aware that both Pew Research and Gallup polls have indicated that Americans are much more likely to want to legalize abortion, not to illegalize, but to legalize abortion, much more likely to want to fight down any ban on abortion than they have been since the mid-1990s. So Americans are more pro-abortion today than they ever have been. Do be aware that 71% of Americans favor homosexual marriage, up from 61% when Donald Trump was elected as president of the United States. So, which indicates that we have a 10% retrograde on American opinions since Donald Trump was elected as president of the United States. And my conclusion is that Donald Trump did not bring an amazing reformation or revival into this country, although he did appoint some decent Supreme Court justices, but he certainly did not change the heart of the nation. That, my friends, is the business of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not the business of the president of the United States. Nevertheless, we just need to point out that America is in far worse shape than America was when Donald Trump was elected as president of the United States. America has not been made great again, and America has not made humble again. Either way, we want America to be humble before America became great. And sadly, America has not been humbled. America is not great. America is more despicable than America has ever been after Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, and Joe Biden as well. Well, my friends, Isaiah 1, I think, really plays into this. Alas, sinful nation of people laden with iniquity. That's us. A brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They've provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. That certainly, since Donald Trump was elected as president of the United States, even more backward than ever before. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefaction. Sores, they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your presence. It's desolate. It's overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard. It's a hut in a garden of cucumbers, besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, my friends, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah, which is where we are today. So, friends, a complete rout. It wasn't even close. 59-41 for the state of Kansas. And that may be what will turn out in Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, some of the more conservative states in America. When it comes down to the vote, Bill, what will they do? We thought, by the way, on this particular survey, Kansas was a 49-49 split on this particular issue when it went in the polling. But when it came to the voting, Kansas turned out 59-41. That may be what will happen with Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, and some of the more conservative states on abortion as well. I have no hope for this nation at this point, my friends, unless there's some revival that comes around. According to Kansas Department of Health and Environment, over 7,800 abortions performed in Kansas in 2021. That's an increase of 4% from 2020. That, of course, does not include all of the abortifacient use, Plan B, and all the other forms of child murder that goes on in the state of Kansas. So 4% increase on abortion, and the state of Kansas says, yes, we want it, and we want to continue to keep abortion in our state.
I just refer again back to 1854 when Kansas was was in the throes of deciding whether to be a free state or a slave state, and pro-slavery Missourians especially flooded into the new territory to illegally vote in Kansas's first territorial election, and the pro-slavery candidate easily defeated the the anti-slavery, the abolitionist free staters. What happened was, that led up to the Civil War. And interestingly, Kansas suffered the highest rate of fatal casualties of any Union state. And it was due because of the internal divisions over the issue of slavery in that state. Now, God's judgment pours out.
And it could be that God's judgment will start in the state of Kansas on this issue as well. Very sad that the churches in Kansas, the pastors in Kansas, have not made much of an impact upon the heart of the state. Very sad what's going on. Kansas being something of the canary in the coal mine for the issue of abortion in the United States of America. Very sad. 5941, the pro-abortion forces have insisted upon child killing in the state of Kansas. Not a chance at this point that the state is going to reverse its position on Roe v. Wade. The U.S. Supreme Court has passed abortion off to the voters and the legislators. And somewhat the issue of homosexuality now is off towards the people. And the heart of the people is in the wrong place. It's far too early to celebrate Roe v. Wade reversal. Not until the churches have repented of the use of abortifacients and pornography and all the rest. When Trump was elected, my friends, remember 61% of Americans supported homosexual mirage. Now after Trump, 71% of Americans support homosexual mirage. That does not sound like repentance to me. The 2022 elections will be extremely telling, and we're already starting to see something. Americans want abortion. Americans want abortifacients. Americans want homosexual mirage. That's plain. That's where the heart of the nation is. Now, Bill, you need to know something about me. I ran for governor of Colorado back in 1994, got 3.5% of the vote. You remember that?
Yes.
I ran against two pro-abort candidates. Benson and the governor.
Yeah.
Governor.
Romer.
Romer. Right. So Romer and Benson ran against me. Both were rabidly pro-abortion, wanted government funding for abortion. And I ran on a third party platform, got 3.5% of the vote. Did the same thing in 1998, ran for U.S. Senate this time against Ben Nighthorst Campbell. And another candidate, Ben Nighthorst Campbell, as I recall, was running on the Republican ticket in 1998. And I ran against him and got 0.8% of the vote. Now, I went into a state of sort of paralysis after that election because I guess I had thought there were more than 0.8% of Colorado voters that were pro-life.
You know, I've had a similar situation.
I know you have. Yeah. I know you have.
And it's interesting to look at that and think, okay, if the Christians had voted, if they had come out, and you came up with a formula, if I recall, it was 2-2-2 or something like that.
Yeah,
2%.
That's right. 2% of it was 0.2% of Coloradans giving 2% of their time and money every 2 years would change the face of Colorado politics.
Right.
0.2%. 1.2%.
0.2%. 0.2%.
Right. One in every 500 people in the state of Colorado.
Yeah.
If they would step up to the plate, get involved, provide 2% of their income
and their
or
time.
Their time, every 2 years, that would make a difference.
Right.
That would turn the tide in the state of Colorado.
And that's a small group of people that can shift and turn the rudder on a ship.
You're right there.
And the rudder on a ship is very small. It can, and yet we have failed in the Christian community to educate our people in the pews generally, as to economics, as to art, as to entertainment, as to politics, as to government. And we have made Christianity a privatized, personalized religion. And whenever you do that, then all the other stuff just collapses around you, and you're left with what we have now.
Fundamentally, Bill, I think it's a refusal to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength and bring everything to the foot of Jesus. You know, holding something back. It's holding something back. It's not a willingness to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of life.
Right.
You know, if you were to come to Jesus, say, you know, Jesus, I love the fact that you saved me, but I really don't want to serve you as Lord in my life, in this area, in that area, maybe over here, but not over there, not over here, certainly not over in this area. Bill, you'd have to conclude that Jesus is not my Lord.
Right.
That would be the conclusion. And I think that's the issue. I think what we have is a people who fake their Christianity. They don't love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Paul does say that let anybody who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ be damned. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But here's the deal. After running for U.S. Senate and for the gubernatorial race in Colorado in 1994, that's when my life changed. I realized the problem was not with politics.
Right.
The problem was with the heart of the people. The problem was in the church. And judgment must begin in the household of God, as well as repentance must begin in the household of God. So I dedicated the rest of my life not to politics, but to homeschooling. And to the family, and to the church. But I made another mistake. I thought that homeschooling would change America. So I became executive director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado in 1999. I spoke to hundreds of thousands of people, not just in the state of Colorado, but all over the United States over a period of, well, the last 22 years, about the benefits of Christian education, family discipleship, et cetera, et cetera. I was thinking if we could just get more Americans out of the public indoctrination centers and give our children a Christian education, that might change America. I thought home education might provide an opportunity, the best opportunity we had left. But meanwhile, the churches were getting worse and worse. So, and I kept thinking, well, we could just revive the family. If we just revive education in this form of family discipleship, maybe we can make a difference. But the problem was in the church. The problem was in the hearts of the people. We can't expect any appreciable change by polishing the outside of the glass when the inside of the glass is so filthy, when the hearts of people are proud, they're in rebellion against God, against his word, against his repentance, against Christ, against the church, against the law of God. The state of the church, I think, is the best determinant of the state of the hearts of the people. As the pastors break down, as the message breaks down, as the churches break down, it's evident that the heart is breaking down. So where are we now? What we need is revival in the hearts of God's people. We need revival in the churches. We need churches to preach God's law and Jesus' gospel. We need weeks and months of conviction of the Holy Spirit crying out for God's mercy. I think we need to put away the bouncy, fun music and the Christian comedians. We need the fear of God to settle in. We need conviction of sin. We need to see ourselves as God sees us and a turning to Christ with an inexpressible relief and appreciation for the gospel, for what he did on the cross, and for love for him and for following him and to submit it to him in all of his lordship and his authority over every area of life. I think we need a revival unlike anything we've seen in this nation's history. And then only then we will love God, love his word, love his church, love his our children, share the word of God with our children as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. I just think we need the whole thing. We need all of that.
Yeah.
And that will play out into submitting every area of life to his lordship.
Yeah. When I moved here 40 years ago, I was looking for a reformation. I thought we had had a revival in the late 60s, 70s with the Jesus People movement.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it certainly was. And it's had rippling effects even through today. But so I was thinking we need now a reformation in our thinking. We need to love God with all. Not just our heart, but we need to think God's thoughts after him and then apply that culturally. But I'm with you. I think we have passed that point, and we are now in need of a revival once again. And that is necessary for what's going to happen in the future of this nation.
So as I was reflecting on the need for revival and this call for revival, and that needs to come from every church in America today, it needs to come from your church. We need to be praying for revival. We need to get up into the upper room and pray that God brings a shaking, a judgment to the household of God that yields real repentance. And if there's real repentance in the grassroots, here's what we're going to find. I just want to list a couple of things. It's like a wish list, I guess you would put it as a wish list. One is a severe reduction of the use of abortifacients in the churches. Okay, that's number one. In other words, we're not going to just say, hey, we're getting rid of the bloody surgical stuff. But we just want to live self-centered lives and subject 80, 90% of the children conceived in this nation to abortifacients and to murder by way of the abortifacient effect of the birth control pill and the IUD. So we need a severe reduction of the abortifacients in the churches. One, that's a... Now, number two, a flocking into the churches to hear solid preaching of the Word of God, as we've seen in every other period of revival over the last 600 years. Okay, I've made it a point, Bill, to study revivals. It's in Taking the World for Jesus. It's in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. I have a whole section on George Whitefield. It's just a big deal for me. I mean, if there's going to be a revival, there's going to be a flocking into churches. You will not be able to find a seat in the church because it's standing room only all the way into the parking lot of churches throughout Colorado, everywhere. And what? Wanting not to be entertained to death, but to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That, my friends, is the number one indication of revival over 600 years of church history. Also, number three, the obliteration of pornography use in the churches. And I'm talking about bringing it down from 80% to 1%. That's got to happen. If there's no revival, that's not going to happen. All right. Okay. Number four is there's got to be love. I mean, there has to be love. There has to be unbelievable. Now, when I say love, when somebody starts to love, they stop killing kids. Is that pretty obvious, Bill?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd like to start from the obvious and work from there.
Love is not a gushy, mushy feeling.
No, it isn't.
It is an act of the will based on a standard, mm-hmm. and that standard is God's word. It's found in Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to any man except to love one another. And it goes on to list four of the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
It is an act of the will based on an objective standard, not on a feeling. There are feelings that come with love, but feelings do not define love.
And there will be a laying down of our lives for each other. Okay, so what's the difference between abortion and love? Abortion is laying down everybody else's life for you.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what that is? And love is what Jesus did.
Yeah.
I mean, really laying down your life for others. You know, these are families that adopt, you know, 12 special needs kids. Instead of killing the kids, they adopt 12 special needs kids, and the love just flows in that family. They give up their lives. Give up their lives for one another. It's fathers really loving their children, teaching the Word of God in the most loving way to their families as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Love within the body. And all these church splits and these angry shouting matches at each other. No, there's going to be a tremendous amount of love and, of course, unity within Bible-believing churches in our area instead of this constant fighting over minor issues. Essential for any revival. That's essential for any revival. And thank God we're starting to find that here in this Elizabeth Valley with some of the evangelical churches. And then finally, the end of public flaunting of sin, especially the sin of Obergefell.
Yeah.
The sin of homosexuality, the sin of Lawrence v. Texas. That has to be reversed as a nation. And if that's reversed as a nation, then I think we will see God's mercy return to this nation. But short of that, Bill, I don't see God having mercy on this nation. I see nothing but judgment ahead for this country.
Yeah, I think we're in the midst of judgment, actually.
It's revival or bust.
Yeah.
It's revival or bust. That's it, my friends. Well, get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, and you'll hear our heart cry for revival across this nation. Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, and second edition coming out in just a few weeks. So get your copy now at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.